This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:12 in the evening and you're with Lynn on the Evening Edition. So we're talking today about PPE or personal protective equipment and whether or not we are going to have enough to last us through this entire COVID-19 pandemic. And to do that, just to kind of paint a picture for us, we're joined by Wong Kee Wei, who's the Managing Director at SafetyWear, a local PPE supplier. Kee Wei, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here.
So let's start, I guess, with a little bit of background. What sort of personal protective equipment do you supply to our hospitals? And also, how much of it are you supplying?
Well, we supply a wide range of personal protective equipment from head to toe, basically, complete solutions. If talking about supplying to a hospital in particular, currently we are supplying respirators, mainly those powered air purifying respirators, which are now urgently needed by many hospitals around Malaysia. Well, the respirators helps to protect them against any airborne viruses. And then besides that, we also supply gloves, masks, apron, protective coverall, and many more.
And have you seen demand spike ever since the outbreak?
Yeah, definitely. Not only the demand by those healthcare professionals increased a lot, but also the demand from general public, which normally don't buy PPE. I mean, they don't use much of those PPE. They are also buying a lot of things like masks, gloves, hand sanitizer, and so on, just to, you know, to stand by or maybe to use it in their daily life.
Mm. And so with that said, let's go back, I guess, to the spaces where they're going to be used and rotated through. Like, there's a very, very high need for it. And what can you tell us, I guess, about how many masks or how many other items, gloves, things like that, that a hospital would typically require in a day?
Well, it depends on the size of the hospitals. And right now, because of the severe shortage of PPE, particularly on the mask, disposable mask, so they are actually, some of them, from what I observe, are actually using it longer than it should be. I would say, you know, it ranged from a few hundred pieces to maybe, if we are talking about larger hospitals, maybe they could use more. But because of the shortage, they are now trying to prolong the usage, which is actually not a good idea because of, you know, potential contamination by whatever, you know, contaminated objects that they might be handling. So ideally, they should, you know, dispose it after a certain period of time. But because of the shortage, now they cannot do that.
Can we just, you know, for the sake of clarity, say how long should you be using a face mask? You know, when is the time that you should be throwing it away and getting a new one?
Well, generally, you know, if it's under normal circumstances, the three-ply surgical face mask, normally people use it for like 4 hours, half a day, then they throw. And then, you know, per day, normally people use 2 pieces. But then it depends on the job. You know, if you're handling, for example, patients infected with virus, maybe, you know, you should change it even more frequent. But then because of shortage, so maybe they use a piece, I don't know, maybe for a day or something, or maybe longer than it should be from my observation. Because we do get a lot of appeal from various hospitals asking for, urgently looking for PPE. But unfortunately, the stock in the market is so limited that, you know, many of them are facing like delivery problems, which they want to buy, but then there's no stock.
So let's talk about that urgent need, right? So from your end, what have you observed in terms of supply? Is there enough?
Definitely not enough at this current moment. Well, PPE is actually a very general word, which it includes a lot of things. But the current few items that are highly needed, sought after by the hospitals, are masks and also protective coverall. Now, if you look at the frontliners, the healthcare workers in Malaysia, they are mostly wearing surgical gowns or some other kind of apparel, which actually provide limited protections. If you have been like watching news overseas, for example, China, the healthcare workers there, they use a lot of those protective coverall, which cover up their whole body, including their head, and it is disposable. That means that they use and they throw. And that kind of protective cover normally is offered by a few main brands in the world, are tested and certified to be able to protect against viruses. But if we are using the ordinary surgical gown or isolation gown to handle infected patient, then I think the risk of the exposure will be definitely higher.
So right now, what are your stock levels like?
Many of them are actually very low. Many models, some have it's like out of stock, and we are waiting for new stock to arrive because we manufacture certain products in-house while we import and distribute a lot of other products from different countries. So for the things that we do in-house, we manufacture some shoes and some gloves and some protective apparel. But the things that is right now are needed by the hospitals, those we rely on import.
And have you noticed any sort of delay or difficulty in terms of getting your hands or, you know, having orders fulfilled in those stock items?
Yeah, definitely, because the demand is not just very high in Malaysia, but it's a global shortage, a global problem, because every country, most of the countries, most of the importer supplier, people in these industries, they are buying all the stock. So the price has gone up tremendously if you compare it now versus a few months ago, not because of just the demand in Malaysia only, because of a worldwide problem. Mm. Everybody is trying to buy everything. So now we are facing with very high price, very long lead time, especially in some products which are highly needed, and also some delivery problems because now logistic, many of the vessels or airline, air cargo or whatever, not as frequent as they used to be. Yeah, because the whole supply chain worldwide, I would say, is like seriously disrupted. So we have many shipments from various countries. We used to be able to get them in much faster, but now, we face like airline cancellation, delay, couldn't find the flight to bring in the cargo, things like that. So it like seriously like prolonged the whole delivery time.
Mm, at a time where you would need it coming in a lot faster than that, I'm guessing. So
yeah, exactly.
With that, right, are other countries still exporting their masks right now, or are we finding ourselves in a position where countries are trying to hold on to as many as they can as well?
Well, many countries, they have not many masks to export anyway, because China is probably the supply, I would say, maybe like 80% or 70% easily and above of the whole mask demand. A whole worldwide mass demand. So China now, they start to export their mask again. So after stopping it for a number of weeks, for like a month or two, the other smaller countries, because they don't have many manufacturers locally, so their governments maybe impose some kind of restrictions to prevent them from exporting. But right now, many of the suppliers in Malaysia, now finally we are able to get the stock from China.
What are the challenges to getting more masks produced locally? Because like you say, right, we can produce some things in-house, but we also rely quite heavily on imports. So what is stopping us from ramping up production here?
Because before this pandemic, three-ply face mask is a commodity. Nobody really paid attention to it. And then the price is very low. I mean, the margin is very low. That's the reason why only those very high volume producers are able to stay in this industry. So in Malaysia, because we don't have the economy of scale, so we are not able to produce as much. That's the first thing. So the cost will definitely be higher. And the second thing is in Malaysia, we don't have local raw material manufacturers. The key to manufacture masks is to have the raw material, particularly the middle layer, which we call it the melt-blown layer. Melt-blown is, it acts as a filter in between the exterior and the inner layer. So that's why we call it the three-ply mask. But Malaysia doesn't have the raw material supplier. So the local manufacturers, we only have a few in Malaysia. They all rely on imported raw materials. So that kind of like makes the cost even more uncompetitive.
So would moving the ceiling price of masks from 80 cents to 2 ringgit, which is what we've been seeing, might that actually spur more manufacturers to produce masks? Or is this issue of raw material something that is just too much to get around in general?
Well, the increase of the ceiling price, from my point of view, is actually, some people might disagree with that, but from my point of view, it's actually a positive development because it allows importers to continue to import masks from overseas. Because previously, when the price was capped at 25 ringgit per box, or maybe 80 cents per piece, if we are talking about loose quantity, that's actually below the cost of the products. So that's the reason why we are facing a severe shortage in the past 2 months, because when the cost of the products has gone up so much, it's even higher than the product, the allowable selling price locally. So all the mainstream major importers of masks, they could not import the masks. That include ourselves. So we know that, okay, internationally, the price is already so much. But then in Malaysia, the ceiling price is not being updated as per what is as per the trend in the world. So that's the reason why we cannot import. Until last week, finally, the ceiling price was raised up. Then many importers finally resume their import activities. But as per your questions on whether would that spur up more manufacturers to invest in these mass manufacturing locally, I have a doubt on that, because as I mentioned just now, the mask, before or after the pandemic, I believe it will go back to become a commodity. And then outsiders who are not in this industry might find it difficult to sell. Now it's very easy to sell because everybody wants to buy a mask. But, if we are not, if we don't have this kind of pandemic, people normally don't buy masks. So the mask is normally supplied to the healthcare or maybe industrial. And that requires certain kind of channel, the sales channel, which to many people outside of this industry might be a little bit difficult to build up in a short period of time.
So do you think that the government could be doing more to encourage domestic production?
I think the key of having a domestic production would be to have a consistent supply of the raw material, which right now we don't have it here. This is something that many countries actually lack of. So when we have a few manufacturers here in Malaysia, many countries, they all rely on some key raw material suppliers in maybe China or Korea or some other countries. So everybody's, so many manufacturers are buying from those people. So, when the demand is so high, that's the reason why the cost price of the melphalan layer actually increased by about 20 times in this 2 month period. So from very cheap up to 20 times. So 20 times is 2,000% or something. So it really increased beyond imagination. So in Malaysia, I think if you're talking about whether the government could do anything to encourage people to invest in it. I think maybe we need to develop or encourage the development of the whole supply chain, because whether or not to start a mask factory, I think one of the key questions is, do we have the supply chain? Do we have the supporting industry, the raw material suppliers, the ear loop, the nose clip suppliers locally or not? But which, unfortunately, from what I know, we are seriously lacking on that.
So it's an entire string of things that needs to come together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. With that said, though, we are also seeing Good Samaritans like BGBG Initiative actually mobilizing to produce face shields in response to the mask shortage, talking about 3D printing. But there is, of course, this question of safety. What can you tell us about the general safety standards for producing PPE items? What needs to be met?
Okay. Safety items, when we manufacture that, we need to comply to published standards. So that we know that the products that we manufacture can provide the intended function. So So the standards differ from products to products. And then the standards also differ from countries to countries. For example, if we are talking about masks, like N95, for example, which many people have known it by now, N95 is actually refers to the American standards set by the U.S. NIOSH. Mask, which is stamped with N95 standards, is actually tested and certified by the American NIOSH, the U.S. NIOSH. Whereas in Europe, they have the CE standards, which has, you know, different criteria of testing and qualifying the mask. So, you're talking about the standards when we do, when we produce PPE, I would say, you know, we need to know when, what kind of standards should we produce, or should we follow. So if talking about the DIY initiative, I think this is definitely something that is very good, because when we are facing severe shortage, we have like no better other options. At least, you know, if we can do something that can help to a certain extent, I from my personal point of view, I think that is definitely a positive development. But then, of course, the products also need to be carefully made so that it is it can at least provide certain functions, certain protection. And then, of course, the users also need to use it with care, because there might be certain limitation or certain unforeseen, issues with the products. You know, if not being handled or used carefully, maybe it might cause other problems.
Kime, last question. Do you expect there to be more supply in the coming months? Are you thinking that it will kind of loosen and free up, hopefully?
The supply of what? Sorry.
Do you expect there to be more supply when it comes to PPE?
Yeah, you mean like PPE in general?
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, if we are talking about PPE related to healthcare, I think in coming few months, maybe we will still face a shortage, because the pandemic now is getting more and more serious. For example, US and Europe now, they are buying a lot of masks from China. So I read news, I think a few days ago, like Canadian government has, is going to purchase 10 million pieces of masks from China. And I believe that many countries will follow. I mean, including Malaysia. Malaysia government is also buying like 10 million or something from China. So when many countries are buying like such a big quantity, so I believe that maybe in the next few months, maybe the supply will still be very, very tight.
Kiwe, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
You just heard from Wong Kee-wei, who's the managing director at SafetyWear, one of the local companies supplying PPEs to our medical frontliners. After the news, we'll be speaking with Rashvin Pal Singh, who's the co-founder of BGBG Initiative, responding to this mask shortage by producing masks of their own. That's coming your way shortly. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.